Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, man, beautiful day in the A. There's no doubt about it.
You ever have somebody you can't get off the phone when you're about to come back to commercial?
It happens, man. It does. And I, you know what? And this is not me saying like I'm a big deal, kind of a big deal. But literally, when you tell people, hey, on the radio, it's like they don't believe you. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm about to do a live show. I got to get back on the radio.
Right.
And they don't believe you. And so they're like, really? Where at? It's like, I don't have time for this right now.
I got a buddy, my boy Dave Powers. He does really sound like King of the Hill, Day-Day. I kid you not. And when I first went to FSU, we became buddies. And he's like, I never met nobody from New York City. And I said, well, I never met nobody from Vicksburg, Mississippi. But anyway, Carlos, you're coming back from break, Day-Day. He's like, so yeah, his wife, Jancy can't make it on Friday. They were going to come over. We were going to grill.
Yeah.
And then we'll drive down to Tallahassee for Miami, Florida State on Saturday.
Big game.
And I'm like, all right, Dave. And so the music's playing, and Carl's got his headphones on. I'm like, all right, I got to go, Dave. Well, if you want me to, I can bring some steaks. No, Dave, I got steaks. I'm like, well, no, because otherwise I know you like that. Dave, I got to go.
Bring the mac and cheese.
Dave, I got to get on the radio. Yeah. Like, all right, well, if you got to go. Yeah, I got to go. So that's what was happening as we're coming back, so.
It happens, man. But he's a good dude. Do you guys get it figured out? You're going to talk to him later?
I think he'll probably bring a couple of steaks, a bottle of nice Cabernet, or maybe a Pinot. He's the one who starts every story. Like, it was back in 95. I was working down at Fort Walton Beach. I had this jet ski concession. Come to think of it, it was 94. Actually, I was in Panama City. I once drove with him from Houston, Texas. I picked up a car at some wholesaler.
Yeah.
They flew up. And so Dave and I, we went to LSU, Georgia on the way back at Baton Rouge. And then we went through all these back roads in Mississippi. And you know, we went down to the Beau Rivage. And he's just, and it's like literally 4 hours of those stories. It's like, what's that line from finish the story?
Get to the story.
And no. What's the line? What's the line? No, from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. You know, when you tell a story, have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
I do agree. Get to it, man. But that game, by the way, since you mentioned it, what's going to happen this week? Look, if Florida State loses.
Well, that's it.
All this talk about we back.
Then you and I can go down for the Pittsburgh game because no one else is going to want to go.
But if they win.
Right.
It is a statement game. And I think Castellanos, did you hear him saying, I can't wait till we storm the field again? He's already talking that noise.
Well, Miami, the argument, and we'll talk more about this on Friday, but I can tell you right now, one of the picks is going to be the over in that game because Miami has given up a lot of points. Their defense is not, I think, what people think it is based on who they've played. Certainly their best was against Notre Dame, and Notre Dame, you know, that's a major, you know, resume builder, certainly. But I think Florida State will have to battle because the Virginia game on Friday night, West Durham's coming, speaking of ACC sports in a bit, that's the first game where Gus Malzahn couldn't handle the blitz.
Yeah.
Or at least he couldn't communicate to Castellanos what he needed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And that's where UVA, it just the snowball started rolling downhill. And Florida State couldn't tackle. And Miami's got enough athletes. I'm just afraid Carson Beck, if you don't get heat on him, he's just going to carve up FSU.
He's been good. There's no doubt. More on that game. Our picks, official picks on Friday. As Mike said, Wes Durham's going to join us, voice of our Atlanta Falcons, here in less than 10 minutes. Right now, let's talk some dogs. The road to the college football playoff is not going to be an easy one for the dogs. But before we get to that, he says it's over. It's done. It's not happening anymore. Lane Kiffin talking about dynasties. He says Alabama with Coach Saban or even Kirby at Georgia, where they had rosters year in and year out, there would be a bunch of wins by 30 points in the conference. Those days are over. He also mentioned when I was at Alabama, and we forget, Lane was the OC there. He says, I'd go watch the outside linebackers, and there'd be like six of them over there who were first-round picks. He says, that's not going to happen anymore because if they don't play, they're going to leave. They can't keep them all anymore. Okay, so if that's true, and this is evened out, and Kirby even admitted as much after the Alabama game, talking about, guys, this is the new SEC we're in. This is the new college football world. Then, Mike, if that is the case, then this Rebel thing, being 5-0 and ranked number 4 in the country, is not a fluke. Because what he's telling you is there are going to be years like this where, hey, we're going to have a team that's on par with the Georgias and Alabama. It may not be every year,
right?
But because of what Lane's saying, you winning back-to-back or winning 3 of 5, you know, 3 in 5 years, it ain't happening, Mike.
No, I mean, I think you could agree with that. I mean, why do you think Saban got out of the business? I mean, that I think that speaks for itself. But the things we touched on yesterday, you know, talking with Connor Riley, he had some strong opinions. Feeling he always felt that this was a younger Georgia team, especially on defense, that did not have the metal to basically be a national champion this season. Check that out on Odyssey.com. But the depth, Kirby stacked depth, stars, you know, brain power, you know, how do you adjust it? You know, not every coach can lose some assistance and be the same team. But to your point, yeah, you don't have the five-star on top of five-star, especially on the defense. So I think Lane's got a point there. I mean, the competition is so robust. You brought Oklahoma and Texas into your conference, recruiting the same guys you recruit. You know, not to mention the transfer portal and how that can be a great equalizer. So I agree with him.
Do you think Ole Miss is now a power? Look, Lane Kiffin's 49-18 at 6 seasons in Ole Miss. 49-18. This dude's winning a lot of games. Problem is, they're not in the playoff, Mike, and they're not winning national championships. But I think he's turned Ole Miss into a program that you got to pay real attention to now.
Right. The loss to Florida last year was inexcusable.
Yes.
That's what cost them their chance to be in the dance. Because, I mean, and they probably would have knocked out on strength of schedule Indiana.
I agree.
They would have been out.
They would have been in.
And you would have had Ole Miss in. But unfortunately, they, for whatever reason, inexplicably, that game in the swamp, they just couldn't handle it. But, yeah, as long as they don't – see, that's the same thing for Georgia Tech. Don't lose a game you're not supposed to, like Wake. That wasn't a trap. As long as Lane Kiffin gets over that kind of thing, you know, because look, he can say, I know what it takes to beat Georgia. You know, granted, it was at home and it was sloppy, but Georgia didn't play well.
No, and we'll get a chance to see that this year. Now, as far as Georgia in the college football playoff, to say this is an easy road there, you get Kentucky this weekend, then you're at Auburn. Remember, two of the last three trips to Jordan Air, Dogs only won by a touchdown. Mm. Tough place to get a victory. We know that. Then you host Ole Miss, and right now they're fourth in the country. Who knows, Mike, the way things are going, Miami loses. We just talked about it. Maybe they're two behind Ohio State by the time that game rolls around. Florida, not sure what you think about them, but Florida-Georgia is always interesting. At Miss State, and then you host number 9 Texas. What we're getting to is what looked like, hey, they'll be able to handle this schedule. It's going to be all right with what you've seen so far from Georgia. How do you feel about the remaining schedule and how that might play a role in them getting into the college football playoff? And more importantly, are we talking about Georgia being the 10th or 12th team in the college football playoff?
Well, that's just it. I mean, you know, this is where the Gunnar Stockton thing, where Bobo's got to get him to, if defenses throw the zone at you, having better interpretation that the ball's going to come out quicker, getting all your playmakers involved. Like, we talked about the execution. It just, that offense, it was okay, but that you left plays on the field. Any team's going to lose when you do that, regardless of what conference you're in. But, I mean, I know it sounds simple, but it is. Kirby's team didn't do their job, you know? And I said to Carl, and Kirby, of course, would poo-poo this in a heartbeat, but, you know, he says it, nothing, don't mean nothing. But do you think he gets tight? You think that the coach staff gets tight when you're going up against the big A on, you know, I mean, the numbers on the helmet, I should say, and the big elephant?
Why not? I mean, look, the way you tell me it doesn't mean anything – come on, Kirby. The way you say and prove to us that it doesn't mean anything is by the way you play. If you are, Mike, making the mistakes and certainly you're not error-free, you know, in your play, and it makes it seem as though maybe your coaching staff is tight, because the kids play like your coaching staff, guys. Like, that's why I was so, I don't even want to say amazed at what Alabama did. I felt like they were so competent in what they were doing going into that game. They came out a lot looser than Georgia. And you saw it in the way that their offense was flowing. So, I don't know. I do think you're right. I want to see how they move forward. Kirby's been really good about losing and then rebounding. While we're talking dogs and Kirby, Lane Kiffin chimed in on UGA's fourth down play. Everybody's got an opinion. Oh, he went for it. He shouldn't go for it. Wrong play. Wrong personnel. Here's what Lane Kiffin said.
Don't rush it.
Here's what he said about the fourth down play for Georgia.
When you go really fast, like what Kirby eventually did there, he had to make the decision what to do, and then he must have told it to the coordinator, and the coordinator said, okay, run, gas, whatever, you know,
yep, yep.
Put everybody into the boundary, run the zone play. And Coach Saban used to talk a lot about, like, there's two philosophies there, and you can go big, and you can go slower, and then you can get the right looks, because you have time to check and go away from different looks, but you also got to block a lot of people when you do that.
We talked about asking two freshmen to block, and they didn't. And one guy missed, and you know, guys know what happened. The fact that Cash happened to be the ball carrier becomes academic when the guys up front don't get the job done.
That's right.
But the thing it was Cash had people going, why is it him? Which kind of added on, like the cherry on top of the bad play execution Sunday.
Yeah. Either way, and again, maybe that play doesn't come back to haunt them. Look, if they go on to win a national championship, nobody's going to care about that fourth down play.
No, and as Connor said, you and I think we said this back in August, did you expect Georgia to run the table this year? No.
No, I did not. I did not. By the way, college football playoff national championship game, they announced today New Orleans is going to host in 2028. I'm looking at the game. So game has been in Atlanta twice. That was when they first started in 18, and again last year, 25, or this year, I believe, right? Was it last year? No, it's coming up. And then they'll make another appearance in South Florida, by the way, Hard Rock Stadium. So, Mike, New Orleans, Atlanta, Miami in the mix. You're seeing it. We're getting this game, national championship game, multiple times.
And the Atlanta Sports Council does a great job. I know that at some point when they get that new big facility in Nashville, they have a feeling that Nashville's going to have a bigger imprint on some of these games.
You're right.
Because that's an easily accessible area with, obviously, entertainment profile, etc.
2027, the game's going to Vegas.
Oof.
Allegiant Stadium for the national title.
Giddy up.
Yeah. All right, man. We're going to talk to Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons.
Wes Drew Ham.
His thoughts on the win and what changed in his mind for the Falcons. Some college football talk with Wes as well. Stay there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. Let's talk to the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, Wes Durham. He's here. He joins us on a weekly basis. Wes, it feels good to be on the bye and have a dub in our back pocket. Good to have you back on, my friend. What do you think the difference was last week? I mean, it's easy to say, oh, well, you know, from one week to the next, we look like a completely different team.
Yeah, made plays. That's the first thing that comes to mind, Carl. I thought, you know, they made plays. Really on both sides of the ball, but I thought they did a really nice job of, you know, trying to keep things in front of them defensively that they did not do in Carolina, obviously the week before. You know, I'm still got some, you know, I hate to be the downer on the bye week here. I still got some concerns about where they are special teams wise.
Oh yeah,
especially covering returns and returns. But it was good to see Jamal Agnew back out there again. And then I thought offensively they stayed pretty balanced. I thought, you know, obviously Bijan was getting ready to have an unbelievable day if he had 25 more rushing yards to become the first Falcon player ever to go 100 rush and 100 receiving in a game, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. But I thought they did a really good job of balancing things out. Now, whether that was change of location for Zach and, you know, the community of the game and things of that nature, we'll see. But you know what? Given when they, you know, played so poorly in Charlotte, for them to come back and have that kind of effort, I thought across the board was really encouraging. Now, you know, this is an early bye week, and it's a long bye week. I mean, this is going to be a long trip. It's 15 days from games, And when you think about it, that's the longest break they're going to have potentially, unless they go, well, it'd be longer than the break from the championship game to the Super Bowl if they were to get that far. So, you know, you got to make sure you got everything in order. And I think Raheem got into that a little bit in his Monday comments because of, you know, they got some decisions to make, Storm Norton, Troy Anderson, all these things that have to kind of come back around in terms of the roster. They still got to do some things from a roster standpoint, I think, here in the next couple of weeks as well. So there'll be plenty of things for us to keep an eye on prior to the Monday night game against Buffalo.
It is our man Wes Durham talking about the Falcons. Yeah, I mean, I love that Zach got down on the sideline, and that seemed to streamline communication, and the flow was there, the execution. Arch talked about it. You know, he kind of scolded us, or me, for, you know, belly aching about the pistol. But, you know, I still don't like it. But, hey, it's definitely bore fruit. And when it works, when guys do their job. I just want to see more Pitts because I don't think Mooney's healthy. By the way, with that long bye you talk about, good for AJ, you know, Terrell getting back. But offensively,
yeah, no question.
I need more Pitts. Drake looked the best he's looked since the first half against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think, and Darnell's situation is, you know, and certainly this is going to help, Mike, right? I mean, you're going to have this gap in the game, so we'll see where he is when he comes back. I will share this. I don't know what this is, if it was a centric deal with Washington and the way they lined up in single high and all that, but I don't hate Robinson out wide. I don't hate that at all.
Love
it. As long as you got the bowling ball of razor blades in the backfield, I really don't hate it. Because I think that's more weaponry than most can account for. I really do. I think there are a lot of things you can do. You've seen them draw Robinson back into the backfield, kind of orbit him around and do things like that. So, look, I think there's a lot more stuff on the whiteboard in the office of Zach Robinson as it relates to those two guys. I hope Darnell can get back. I really do. Now, I am encouraged by Casey Washington coming back, and I hope he can stay healthy because when that guy goes on a straight line, he goes in a hurry. And he can leave some people. So we'll see where it gets. But, yeah, I'm a little concerned about Darnell and just the, you know, can he put back-to-back years together? That's kind of the – if you go back and look at his chronology of his career, it's been tough for him to stay healthy for the full go year to year sometimes. So let's keep our fingers crossed we can get him back toward 100%.
Wes, what about the bounce back of our quarterback, man? I mean, you talk about how mentally strong this kid is. He did not let any of that negativity affect him at all.
No, he didn't hear all those things Mike was saying.
Well, hey, I love panics. Everyone has a bad day.
Everybody has a bad day. Even you, Mike, occasionally.
Occasionally.
I think Carl and Mike, I know this gets kind of glossed over a little bit. He played a lot of college football, guys. I mean, a lot of college football. And dealt with season-ending injuries two times in his career. Actually, two and a half, if you go back and count it all up. I think he is able to process reality pretty quick. And I think that was what we saw Sunday. I think he knows he didn't play well in Charlotte. He knows they didn't play well in Charlotte. You know, remember the story in training camp about the interception in the red zone drill?
Yes.
And how he went over off to the side. It was down kind of staring at the ground and not happy at all about the whole exchange and everything else, how he underthrew the ball, right? That to me was the time when I saw him go to a place where he had to reorganize him. And I'm guessing that's probably what a lot of last week was about reorganizing him. Look, nobody liked the interception he threw to the, you know, the kid in the flat in Charlotte, and he didn't like it most of all. And so I think that's who he is at his core, and the performance on Sunday kind of stands up to the things that, you know, if you go back and look at his college career statistically, he didn't have too many bad games in a row. And that's something I think we can hope to see, you know, as long as he's in Atlanta as the starting quarterback, and I think he's got an incredibly bright future. The other thing is this, too. He never rides too high and too low that you know of. Now, he may do that behind closed doors or in meeting rooms with coaches and things like that. But on the surface, Michael Penix does not – he doesn't burn real hot and he doesn't burn cold. And I think that's a great quality to have in the NFL as a quarterback.
Talking with our man Wes Durham about the Falcons, guys. And now, as we said, the bye week with the offense flying high, defense certainly will have a big job. We got plenty of time next week to talk about corralling Josh Allen. But – You know, it's not like the Buffalo Bills are an elite defense, Wes. If you look at, I know, cause I told Carl, I got them in my fantasy league, so I know what they do and what they don't do. So if we, you know, can just handle it.
You got their defense on your fantasy team?
Well, I didn't really pay attention on it. They've certainly been.
What, were you drunk during the draft?
They were dropped.
First against the run.
Yeah, I mean, well, again, I prioritize other things. I always, you know, I go for kickers.
Like what?
Well, not that. By the time there was a run, I was picking freaking. You want me to break down my whole effing draft, Wes? I was picking 10th, okay? All the defenses went.
Don't you know what all the consultants say, Mike? Nobody cares about your fantasy team, right, Carl?
That's right. That's right.
Nobody cares about your team.
Anyway, but no, so the Bills will be there, but and they got James Cook, but the receiver core is kind of a group of dudes that are, you know, they're clutch, but they're not like elite, as Kirby would say. So I'll take a puncher's chance. The question will be, can we just match them scoring-wise? Because they average 33.
Yeah, they do. And the thing about it is, you're right about it. Defensively, one way they're really bad, and the other way they're really good. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they're the number one pass defense in terms of yardage. They're the worst. They're second to last in terms of rushing defense. But you're right about the scoring. And, you know, their point differential right now and their yard differential is interesting. But here's the deal. They've got one of the best QBs in the league, if not the best QB in the league. He's the MVP, so he is right. The best one, at least in terms of where we are right now. And they're 400 yards a game. So you're going to get them on a Monday night. You're also going to get them, I think, and you're going to have to play well in all three phases. This is kind of the whole, I guess, when you play somebody like this, you're going to have to do everything right and not give them any free shots. And I think that's one of the things you have to keep in mind in this about playing somebody of Buffalo's ilk, is you cannot go and say, okay, no plus field turnovers, no miscues, no missteps in the kicking game, field goals, punt cover, kick return, punt return, all those things. I just think that's a big part of winning a game like this at this particular time for a team that has two different dynamics to it, one that's consistently been to the playoffs and one that's trying to get back to the playoffs. And, look, it'll be a big challenge, and you're right. We got a ton of time, 10 days or so, 12 days, I guess, now to talk about it. But I also think it's probably the right time to find out if you're ready for that stage, too, if you're Raheem in this team. And for Michael, because realistically, since the game in Washington in Week 17 last year, this will be the next biggest game he's played is against the guy of Allen's capability and a group offensively that can go get it like they can.
Before we get to some college, I want to give you a compliment. You don't have to say anything, but Mike and I love this call. I think our audience loved the call, and that was Tyler Algier getting in the end zone. Wes, this is how it sounded, guys.
Algier's coming to the ballgame. Bijan had to replace the tearaway. I'm just kidding. Washington threw the formation. They give it to Algier. Uh-oh, Tyler breaking free. 10-5 shoulder. Touchdown! Oh, Atlanta! Check the license plate, Jeremy Reeves.
Man, he ran him over.
I texted Wes when I got a chance to hear it because I heard Steakhouse replay it on Monday. That was gold.
It really was. Let's talk. Right. What's up? What's up?
Oh, no, I appreciate it. Thank you.
No doubt.
Very kind.
Look, we love you guys calling these games. What's going to happen this weekend? Mike is antsy, I got to tell you.
About Miami and Florida State?
Yes. He's like, because again, they looked really good. They had a letdown. Mike said this though last week. He said he kept telling me all week, watch out, trap game, and they lose. You've got number three Miami. A lot of people are not believing that Miami's this good. Here's a perfect opportunity to prove not only are they this good, but they are going to be in the national championship contention conversation. What do you think?
Oh, I think, well, there's one thing about Miami that, you know, you can walk with, and that is it's the best combination of offensive and defensive lines the ACC has. Mm. I mean, they're the best offensive line and the best defensive line in the ACC. They may have the best player in the ACC in Reuben Bain at defensive end. I mean, he's been so good since he showed up, and he's only gotten better. But this is a game where the stage is now set. If Florida State wants to get back in this thing, this is a game they have to win. I think they're capable of winning it. They can't win it with one person. They might be able to win it on one play. It has to be a little bit like I was talking about the Falcons a moment ago. They have to be better defensively than they were the other night against Virginia, where they surrendered a bunch of rushing yards, because they've got Mark Fletcher. They've got Marty Brown. They've got a combination of guys at Miami who can run the football behind the previously mentioned line. Here's the other thing, too. The guy at quarterback, the people that remember him at Athens everything I've been told and everything I was exposed to when I talked to him in July for a show we did on ACC Network, he is a different guy now. And I can't speak to all the stuff in Athens. I wasn't covering him then. But I will tell you this. He has done a terrific job in leadership at Miami, and that's been a big part of their success. I think it's going to be a hell of a game because I think the Doak will be lit. I think the game has got a lot of twists and turns to it. If it comes down to a kick, that's really going to get interesting, not only historically, but just in the current state of things.
Right.
And I think it's going to be pretty close. I really do. I thought Florida State was in trouble the other night before the game only because Virginia was an unknown commodity. And no matter what you tell anybody in Tallahassee, they probably didn't think Virginia was that good. Mm. And they are. Virginia, I don't know that Virginia's going to win 10 games, Carl and Mike, but they've got Brett Favre light at quarterback, and they've got three legitimate running backs and an offensive line that's full from the portal. And I think it makes them pretty good. And then Florida State didn't play perfect.
Yeah. And by the way, Wes, first game that Gus Malzahn, I'm sorry to cut you off. First game that Gus really didn't have an answer for a team blitzing as far as Castellanos reacting.
Yeah, and John Brzezinski, the defensive coordinator at Virginia, nobody knows who that is unless they follow a lot of football. John's got talented guys. He's got a transfer from Tennessee Tech and Rickard, who's a little bit of an undersized guy who can pressure quarterbacks off the edge and things like that. And the linebackers are steady, and the secondary is not brutal. Virginia's vastly improved because, shocking, the resources came in, Carl. Mm-hmm. Virginia started spending money.
Right.
And so one thing led to another. It's not a terrible loss for Florida State. It's regarded nationally as a terrible loss, but it's not because I think Virginia's going to have a good year. But this is the game now. This is the stage of two basically top 12 teams now. It should have been two top seven teams had Florida State won the game, playing on the ACC's biggest night in terms of their regular season, I think.
You're right. It's basically, Carl, it's a chance to play in the playoffs or it's Cheez-It Bowl for the Seminoles. That's kind of what's happening. Hey, real quick, Wes, I know we got to roll.
Don't misstep. Don't misstep Saturday night.
And you, Mike, that's the other thing. You saw enough Tech games over your career. I was afraid they were going to – that was like a trap game of its own against Wake. But some ACC officiating was a bit sketchy in both Florida State and Georgia Tech games last week. But good win for Brent to see it through in Haynes King's machine.
No question. But here's the thing. The neutral zone penalty certainly was a missed call. They went to review on a first-half incomplete pass. They called it an incomplete pass, and it was a fumble. It was the college version of the tuck rule. And the kid, Robbie Ashford, was trying to pull the ball back in. So in my world, those penalties offset one another. And Wake got a field goal out of it. And what was the difference in the game when Tech got the call, no call in the neutral zone? It was a field goal. So it all kind of works itself out. But Brent and his team have great mental fortitude. They are – you think about the Colorado game, you think about falling behind early against Gardner-Webb. They've got enough experience, and now they've got to, take that deep breath because they don't have much of a break after this week when they have the off week before. And Virginia Tech now, believe it or not, interim coach, they went to Raleigh and won the other night, and they got Wake Forest on Saturday. Virginia Tech could come in here winners of three straight if you count the Wofford game, playing in Atlanta next Saturday afternoon at 3:30.
Wes, where are you at this weekend, by the way? What college game?
I'm going to Dallas to see Syracuse and SMU on Saturday afternoon.
Okay. All right. That's going to be an interesting
one. I just got word this afternoon that I get two home games next weekend. I'm doing Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech next Saturday afternoon at Grant Field. Oh, nice. I'm sorry, the aforementioned corporate name field.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome, man. Well, right, we got Monday Night Football. It should be fun. We'll talk to you next week, my friend. Thanks again.
Take care, guys. Have a great weekend.
See you soon. Mike, what do we have coming up in Gatto?
Hey, man, Brian Snicker makes it official. He's going to step down. Some Yankee fans wishing Aaron Boone would do the same. And what do? You walk into McDonald's and an alligator shows up. We'll explain. Coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah, ran a little late with Wes Durham, so I got to move on. Move it, hit it. We heard that Brian Snicker announced his retirement. Big announcement today, emotional press conference. We'll let you hear some of that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Yankee fans are saying, can Aaron Boone do the same? Max Fried was at 102 pitches, and he pulls him. I mean, if ever there's a time to maybe get in the 110 to 115 pitch count, it would be when the season's on the line in a best of three. They decide to pull Max Fried with the bottom of the Red Sox lineup coming up. Needless to say, it goes sideways, and the Yanks fall and lose a crucial game. And if you didn't see it, man, boy, I mean, there was some really good pitching, but mostly on the Red Sox side, and Fried as well.
Chapman was incredible for the Red Sox. I thoroughly enjoyed watching this game, but I felt bad
Crochet
for Max.
Crochet was dealing, too.
He was, but I felt bad for Max because this is called Know Your Personnel. Max Fried is a big game pitcher. We know it. Go back to our World Series run. He was that dude, and he lives for these moments, and he showed up big, let him pitch. And it's almost as if you're overthinking it, Mike. It was a huge mistake. We'll see what the Yankees do moving forward, but if the Red Sox move on, that's going to be the one where they go, wait a minute. His stuff was untouchable.
Right.
He had filthy stuff, and you're just like, I'm going to pull him. Terrible decision.
And again, what are you saving him for? Game three? No, I mean, this is boom, boom, boom. That's why these things are so dangerous, these series. Meanwhile, a sidebar story up in New York because, you know, the media just loves to create some heat on Chaz Chisholm. He was frustrated. He was left out of the starting lineup for the Yankees yesterday and turned his back on the media, which, of course, media in New York, they just love that.
Don't you turn your back on me!
So they went all in on him, and everybody's just killing him. Meanwhile, neighbors take matters in their own hands down in Bibb County. Speaking of Macon, when an alligator shows up in a McDonald's parking lot.
What?
Yeah, Channel 2. You guys see this last night? Channel 2 had the story.
Yeah,
WMAZ Macon had the initial story. Neighbors said they became concerned. They couldn't get a hold of the police and the wildlife officials. I guess they were across town at Whataburger.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
So the funny part, I don't have the actual video of this because it took too long to disseminate, but they have a guy, a local Macon rapper, who describes himself as Lord DeAndre.
Lord DeAndre.
And they got him on the camera saying, dude pulls up with some duct tape and shoestring. He starts taunting the gator. We was like, it's our time now for real. We finally going to get this thing.
It was a trip. Like, you see them with the string and the duct tape, and there's just like this line of 20 people across the street, all with their cell phones, just filming it.
Well, what got me was the guy in the Crocs.
Yes.
Because I was like, if this dude goes down because of those Crocs,
it's a wrap. That first death roll, it's over.
And that would certainly be some creative writer, as an editor of a newspaper, would say, man in Crocs killed by gator. But yeah, man, I just love that thing, man. Bibb County Sheriff's Office Captain Linda Howard said law enforcement had been aware of the gator sightings, and animal control responded on Saturday. By the time they arrived, they had gone back in the water. They apparently had a trapper on site. But yeah, if you hadn't catch, you can go to Channel 2. I don't know if they've got her. WMAC's got the audio. It's like, dude pulls up with some duct tape. So I'm going to get this thing. The only thing he left out of the comment, guys, was, I was afraid we have to call the Babulance.
So the trapper came and trapper left. Did the trapper, like, leave town or something? There was no trapper anymore once the gator came back?
Apparently not. The thing, the critter was back in the water. No one was hurt. A licensed trapper showed up later to help relocate the gator
to
nearby Lawrence County.
Where were the cops, by the way? Where were the police?
I said, they were not in McDonald's.
Hold up. You were just to another county? Like, that's not the other county's problem with the gator,
right.
I guess.
That's exactly right. Gator, meanwhile, the only one that was a quarter pounder with cheese. Yeah, real quick, I think I may have told you the story, Day-Day. Maybe not, because you've been working with us about a year and a half. But when I was a kid down in Newport Richey, Florida, spent all my summers down near my nana's, and they had an alligator that was in one of the canals. There was some construction crawl came over one of the swamps. And the day that they caught that gator, because first off, how do you know the gator's in there? People's cats started disappearing.
Oh.
That was kind of like rut-row. But they had like a gaffing hook and like a big chunk of meat. You should have seen like six old good old boys throw this thing in the back of the pickup truck, duct taped the mouth. It's like, holy cow. This is like before, you know, the stuff we now see on cable.
Yeah, for sure. Like the most shocking videos
right.
and all that.
But as
that
a kid,
kind of
I was like, damn. All right, it's not gators. It's Rattlers. And a Rattler PA announcer at FAMU got himself in some hot water because I'm not swag, you swag. They were taking on Alabama State, and apparently Alabama State has some women that have some good size on them, known as the Honeybees. These are some larger sisters that were part of the dance routine along with the band. Take a listen. They've since apologized, but needless to say, this had Alabama State pretty hot.
Congratulate them. They're now the new face of Ozempic.
Not funny.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Not funny. Somebody's
mama going to raise hell in that crowd.
Well, she might have went and grabbed him. I mean, like, that's not funny. Not cool, not funny, not the place or time.
Well, needless to say, the president of FAMU has since apologized for the comment, saying that there's no place for that. The Honeybees dance team were introduced as the new face of Ozempic.
Yeah.
Trying to be clever, and obviously that's not good. Dare I say, that dude will not be calling the game anytime soon from the PA box at FAMU.
Maybe not anywhere.
On the other side of the tracks.
Got to have discretion, man. Yeah. Got to know.
President Johnson addressed the inappropriate comments at FAMU in a press release. And again, they remain committed to upholding the dignity and excellence of historically black colleges and universities. So, shame. Hey, man, speaking of shame, you hear what happened to Morgan Waller? The country singer finally got sentenced up in Nashville.
To what?
Well, throwing the chair off the roof.
Yeah,
of the place?
Some would say if you or I throw a chair off a roof from a 6-story building, this was on Broadway in Music City, and nearly hit a cop, we're going to real jail. And not for just a week at a DUI camp. Apparently, Waller, who appeared in court alongside his attorneys, was sentenced throwing a chair off a 6-story building in Nashville. Nearly hit two police. They said it was in a yard of hitting their cruiser. Conditionally guilty, Wallen said when the judge asked how he plead. So apparently he's going to spend 7 days in a DUI education center and then be under supervised probation for 2 years.
Okay.
Good luck. I mean, good luck with the average Joe pulling that one off.
No doubt.
Going to day camp for a week for throwing a chair off a bar in Nashville.
He's a megastar. Was this a fight or he just happened?
No, I think he was just drunk.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Now, not that, again, it was incriminating or anything, but the police saw him throw the chair. They looked up and they saw it. By the time he got downstairs on Broadway, his bodyguard's like, he didn't do it. He didn't do it. Apparently a testimony. Yeah, never helps when your large bodyguard is screaming, not him. It wasn't him. It was another guy who looks like Morgan Wallen.
Yeah, right.
Throwing that chair off the roof. All right, from alligators to FAMU Rattlers to flying chairs, and I'll bring it back to gators. I picked up this factoid just now, and I want to share this with Carl because Carl's got a bold, brave face when it comes to his Texas Longhorns. Going down to the swamp. Speaking of reptiles.
Only a 7-point favorite, though.
I saw this today, and I want to get out. I think the dude's name is Pate, who does all this for, I don't think it's for SI. Texas and Florida. Listen to this factoid, guys. Wrap it up here. They are a 103rd, that's Texas, University of Florida, 123rd on third downs.
On third down.
I just think, man, if ever there's a game where Napier, I don't know, maybe Napier's already dead man walking to Gator fans.
Dead man walking.
What's your level?
We're keeping the book right now, we ass.
What's your level of nerve? Be straight. Don't lie to the listeners. Don't lie to the audience.
Look.
You can lie to when you drag that Gillette across your face, you can lie to that man in the mirror. How nervous are you about Texas going to Florida?
I'm not. Look, I'm more nervous with the buildup to what it's going to be when they come to Georgia for the first time and play in Athens. This game doesn't scare me. Look, for all the conversation about DJ Lagway, speaking of keeping it buck,
right?
He's not been any good. Lagway's been hot garbage, Mike. So this idea like Texas can play, you know, they're going to go down there and play bad. Even if they do, what's Lagway do? Does he turn it over? Does he throw it to you a couple of times in this game?
I would think so.
Yeah, so I'm really not. I'm not nervous. I'm more interested in why the number's only 7.
That's the thing. It's 6.5 on some books now, too.
I don't get that.
It's a trap.
Billy Napier during the bye week said he was very happy with the live action progress that DJ Lagway made during the bye. He was very, very happy with the progress that he
made. Was he in the simulator wearing like virtual reality goggles?
No idea, but that just goes to show you how far it's fallen. Yeah, he looked really good during the bye week when we weren't playing anybody.
No, it's true. He's regressed in my opinion. If you've not watched closely with Lagway, but no, that's my big question. But no, man, I'm not nervous. Look at me. I'm not nervous.
Hey, shout out to the neighbors. I got the best neighbors in town. I got to wrap it up in Guy Talk. Thanks to our buddy Mike Maeda and my buddy Kirby. I was jacking up the wife's car. She had a flat tire.
Okay.
By the way, honey, when the entire sidewall is blown out, yes, the tire is flat. I had it up on one of those flimsy jacks that comes with the, you know, the car. And in the middle of putting the tire on, the jack falls over at an angle.
And by the way, that's why you don't get underneath.
Correct.
Okay.
So, but I'm like, now I got the car and it's just about an inch off the ground. How am I going to get up? Good news is when you work with guys that lift 737s for a living, they have some jacks and techniques. So thanks to the pit
That's
crew.
Cool.
Got that sucker up in the air and got the tire on. But thanks to my boys, best neighbors in town. That's
awesome.
Guy Talk.
That's awesome. All right. Give me some, man. Give me some. This is Morgan Wallen right here. When I first heard, I was like, Morgan's rapping.
Yeah.
He was not rapping when he got arrested, though, was he? All right. Coming up, Falcon Report. Also,
I ride the horse and you hear the hoof.
That's not it. That's
I
not
get
it.
Tuned up and I throw a chair off the roof.
That's not this song. Don't ruin it for me. It's a good song right here. Hey, man, coming up also, we got to talk more about Snit. He's calling it quits. Atlanta, how do you feel? And where are the Braves going to go now? It's Dukes and Bell. Cal.
Heads up.
Dukes for Xfinity. Here's the deal. You and I both know we're huge football fans, and there's nothing better than watching the games if you've got the right setup. But it's about getting the right setup. Look, when you go over their friend's house, you want to make sure that they're doing it the right way. That did not happen to me a while back. I told you. I went over. He's like, oh, I can't wait to show you the setup. I was like, okay, cool. I know you're a big fan. We start talking about the games. He's trying to pick the games up. There's lag. There's buffering. He's switching between the apps. I'm like, what's going on? What's wrong? Oh, no, I got this. I got this. I'm like, this doesn't look like you have this. The ultimate sports destination. The best games, favorite teams. It's all in one place for me, and it's with Xfinity. It's next level. And if you really want to flex, this is the way to do it, guys. Sometimes I got, you know, four games going all at one time. Why not? Because I can. And when I told him, look, my picture and enhanced 4K, and it feels like the sound, I'm right there at the stadium. He's like, I know, I've seen your setup. I said, well, you got to get with it. Xfinity.com. That's what you need to do. Xfinity. Imagine that. Next game day, make sure that the big fan isn't a big fail. Restrictions apply. Multi-view requires Xfinity 4K capability. TV box.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.